Good morning and welcome to the conference call of Vision Wireless Technology, which is now starting. This conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Alex Chong, CFO, and Mr. Drew Burns, Investor Relations Manager of Vision, as the moderators of this conference.
Thank you very much. Thank you and good morning to everyone. We appreciate you taking the time to tune in for our call again. We will proceed in the fashion to which you've probably become accustomed tuning into our calls. I will open with just a brief overview of the company from a sort of basic facts and business model standpoint, in case there's anyone on the line who is new to our story or relatively unfamiliar with our company, though I trust most of you on the line are quite familiar with us. Then Alex Chong, our CFO, will take over beginning on page 4, where we'll go over the financial results, have a statement about the cash position, how we continue to evolve our plans for intended use. And then I will take back over on page 8 with a few slides, just giving a little bit more detail to the release we had at the beginning of the month, which announced a cooperation between Vision and the Fujian Province China Unicom to invest in a broadband network expansion project, fixed line fiber optic expansion project. So we'll just give a little bit more detail on that to make sure that everyone has a bit better understanding, since we did have the news release but haven't gone into too much detail on that. After that, and then we'll close just once again with a quick outlook. And after that, as always, we're very happy to answer any and all questions that you might have. This begins on page 2. Again, this is very basic information for those of you who are new to us. Vision is a company headquartered in Fujian Province in China, but we're listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. And then we have field offices across China, primarily for sales and marketing purposes, particularly directed at the regional offices of the telecom operators, China Telecom, China Unicom, and China Mobile. When we speak about our results, we talk about the different business segments. Those are, and a description thereof can be found on page 3, the wireless data terminals, which are wireless data cards or the dongles that are used to connect to the 3G markets with a laptop computer, 3G routers, which take then the mobile network signal and put out Wi-Fi in the home or office, and then embedded modules, which count for a very small part of that segment, but are modules that we sell to companies that use wireless connections for other purposes. Wireless intelligent terminals is essentially the tablet PC. The biggest seller by far in that is the V7, which is a 7-inch tablet PC running the Android operating system. We also sell a small number of e-readers and have another product called PC to TV, which is a device that allows a connection between a laptop PC and an HDTV monitor through a wireless signal so that the laptop can be a distance away from the TV and still able to project the images. Finally, the mobile applications business segment is run through a wholly owned subsidiary of Vision Information Technology in China called Vision Anjuo. That company currently offers about 10,600 applications, a little bit more, through various sales channels that include shop-in-shop models in cooperation with the telecom operators, cooperation with other device manufacturers who don't have their own app store, and then, of course, our own mobile app store, the V-Market, which is run, obviously, through Vision Anjuo. We also talk about industry-specific solutions. That's not really a business segment of its own, but rather sort of a cross between Vision Anjuo, given that the solutions involve customized applications for the business clients, and then the mobile intelligent terminals, since we do sell the tablet PCs alongside the applications or the solutions that we sell. So we currently work in the insurance industry, selling sort of these combined solutions, hardware with pre-embedded customized applications to insurance clients, and then there is the intent to broaden into other industries such as finance and healthcare once we manage to establish a little bit more of a track record in the insurance industry. With that, now that we have an overview of sort of the company and our three main business segments that contributed to our results for the quarter, I will turn this over to Alex Chong, our CFO, beginning on page 4 with an overview of the results we achieved for the second quarter this year and the half year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Drew. Good morning, everyone. Next, I will take you go through the key financials for the first half of 2012. Firstly, income statement. Our total revenue for the second quarter of 2012 was around 94 million euros. The business contributed around 37.2 million euros revenue in the first half year of 2012, an increase of 16% year on year. If excluding the impact of exchange differences arising from currency translation, in the first half of 2012, sales increased by 4% year on year. The revenue increase was mainly due to the increase in the sales of wireless routers, WePad, and wireless high-definition sharer named PC2TV, which was partly offset by the decrease of sales from wireless data cards, electrical book, mobile trade, and data solution service. Sales of wireless routers increased from 3.2 million euros in the first half of 2011 by 5.8 million euros, or 181%, to 9 million euros in the first half of 2012. In the first half of 2012, sales from WePad and PC2TV amounted to 7 million euros and 1.4 million euros, respectively. WePad and PC2TV were put on market in the second quarter of 2011, so no sales generated from these two products in the first quarter of 2011. In the first half of 2012, revenue from wireless data cards was 19.3 million euros, which decreased from 22.2 million euros in the first half of 2011 by 2.9 million euros, or 13%, as a result of severe falling of unit price for 3G wireless data cards impacted by the fares, price competition, and the increasing usage of other connection to access the mobile internet. Next, cost of sales. Cost of sales increased to 31 million euros in the first half of 2012 by 4.2 million euros, or 16%, from 25.9 million euros in the first half of 2011. The cost of sales increase was in line with the revenue increase. Gross profit margin in the first half of 2012, the overall gross profit margin remained stable at 19%. Slightly decreased from 20% in the first quarter of 2012. SG&A expenses. The ratio of SG&A expenses to total sales was 5.8% in the first half of 2012 and 6.6% in the first half of 2011. EBIT and EBIT margin. EBIT was around 3.4 million euros in the first 6 months of 2012, an increase of 34% year over year. If excluding the impact of exchange differences arising from currency translation, a profit from operations increased by 20% compared with that in the first half of 2011. The increase was largely due to the increase of sales generated from wireless router, WePad, and PC2TV, and a slight increase of gross profit margin of 3G wireless data cards, and a decrease of operating expenses. Accordingly, the EBIT margin increased from 9% in the first half of 2011 to 11% in the same period of 2012. Net profit and EPS. Net profit in the first 6 months of 2012 amounted to 2.7 million euros. The earning per share in the first quarter of 2012 was 0.18 euros. Net profit margin. The net profit margin decreased from 13% in the first half of 2011 to 7% in the first half of 2012. The decrease was mainly resulted from the foreign exchange loss and the increased income tax expenses occurred in the first half of 2012. Next, we will look briefly at the balance sheet items. Non-current assets slightly decreased from 3.3 million euros as at the end of 2011 to around 3.26 million euros as at the 30th June 2012. Current assets slightly decreased from 155.7 million euros at the end of 2011 to 155.4 million euros as at the end of first half of 2012. Total assets was 158.7 million euros as at the 30th June 2012, compared with 59 million euros as at the end of 2011. The asset decrease was mainly due to the decrease of cash and cash equivalents, partly offset by the increase of inventories and trade receivables. Regarding liabilities, we do not have interest-bearing liabilities. As at the end of June 2012, total liabilities were around 18 million euros, compared with 20 million euros as at the end of 2011. Regarding equity items, retained earnings increased year over year, primarily due to the share buyback program, share capital, and capital reserves decreased. Total equity was around 141 million euros as at the end of June 2012, compared with 139 million euros as at the end of 2011. Cash flow. The company used net cash of 3.7 million euros in operations in the first 6 months of 2012, representing a decrease by 30 million euros compared with the net operating cash inflow of 9.3 million euros in the same period of 2011. The decrease was mainly due to the decrease of collection of trade receivables due to longer credit terms offered to sales agents, partly offset by the increase in operating cash flow before working capital changes. Regarding the cash positioning map, of Vision's 138 million euros cash, around 7.1% is located with the German holding company, while the remaining is located in mainland China. Regarding the usage for the cash position, firstly, Vision need to maintain certain amount of cash to meet potential increasing working capital requirements. We can see in the second quarter of 2012, the working capital requirements increased a lot. Secondly, the new bond project calls for around 1.7 million euros investment in 2012. In the next several years, the investment will increase. Thirdly, Vision will continue to return cash to shareholders through share buyback program dividend payment. Finally, although we are confident in our ability to maintain organic growth in 2012, we will still continue to select and evaluate the possibilities to invest in certain M&A opportunities. Okay, next I will let Zhu to introduce the bond project.
Okay, thank you very much. This continues on page 8 of the presentation circulated. It starts with an overview of the market. For reference, and in the Chinese market, this is actually something that's fairly common, is you see steps being skipped in development because technology from Europe or the United States is available, and sometimes before the previous generation of technology was even implemented in China, you jump right to the next, which is why you see a very actually underdeveloped fixed line network in comparison with 3G and 3.5G, now beginning even 4G networks that are fairly well developed or developing quite rapidly. So the fixed line connections have sort of lagged behind, which you see from fiber optics, which have only really been put in the last 2 years and only account for 10% of fixed line connections. Remaining 90% are still the old dial-up connections, so it's still a quite antiquated fixed line network. In Fuzhou and Fujian province, the mandate we have is only within the province. So Fuzhou is the provincial capital. You see there's 1.6 million connections there, but a 20% growth rate expected. 6 million connections throughout the province, expected to grow at 15% over the next 5 years. So our major points of focus will be the cities of Fuzhou, Quanzhou, Xiamen, and Zhangang. The market share for China Unicom currently is 10%. The goal is to reach 30% market share of the broadband connections within the province in 3 years. As you see in Dongguan, which is a city in Guangdong province, they were able to move from a 9% market share to a 30% market share in 2 years. Their main competitor in this is China Telecom. China Mobile does some fixed line connections, but traditionally China Telecom has been the stronger fixed line provider. How does this break down as far as what party is responsible for what? You see on page 9, Fujian China Unicom provides sort of the larger network. They provide services, entertainment options. Of course, having a connection to their network, of course, means access to their online store, their offerings of applications, solutions, and games. Our job is to establish the connections in the actual so-called final kilometer. So when you get to, actually it's easier to see this on the following page, page 10. You see the distribution points, or the, well, first you start with the network hub, then it goes out to distribution points, and then finally this final kilometer, illustrated in yellow, is what actually winds up being connected to a user. And that's the part for which we're responsible. The construction of this we'll outsource to temporary workers, so we won't be taking on any permanent staff for that purpose. Once the connections are established, our role in this is to sell and market them, provide after-sales service support, and we also see it as an opportunity to promote sales of our hardware. If someone's establishing a broadband connection in his home, he'll need a router as well, so we would look to sell there. And then also use the closer ties with China Unicom as an opportunity to promote the mobile applications we're selling with Vision Anjuo. The way it works then is, sorry to make everyone flip around, but if you go back to the previous page, you see the property managers are responsible for their residents, for getting them internet connections. So we go to the property managers and look for an agreement that would allow us to put a China Unicom connection that we are establishing and marketing in every unit of what is either commercial or residential compound, which is why you see of the commission that Vision is paid by China Unicom, 10 to 15% of that goes to the property managers who allow us in, allow us to establish these connections. For Vision, the user spends about 700 renminbi, Chinese yuan, a year on this fixed line connection. We receive a commission of 60% of that for the first 5 years from China Unicom, 30% for each year thereafter. In the first 5 years, 10 to 15%, as I said, of this goes to the property manager for letting us establish basically this whole property as one of our connection points. For the second 5 years, we no longer pay a commission to the property manager. So it's only the first 5 years we pay that. And the commission that China Unicom pays to Vision is paid on the activation of a connection. So as you see on page 11, what we expect is to see users in 2017 and 2018 still coming onto the networks because we'll have connections established that might not be activated right away. So you'll have activation continuing following the establishment of all these connections. And then we still have the commissions rolling in even after the rollout or the network construction part of the program is complete. After we have all these connections established, obviously the sales and marketing efforts will continue in order to try to bring in as many users as we can, get as many activations and those commissions as possible. The reasoning behind this is, from our standpoint, it's, as mentioned, an opportunity to strengthen our ties to China Unicom and look for sort of tangent business opportunities along with this, as well as, of course, an opportunity to make money. For China Unicom, they have essentially been mandated, the Fujian China Unicom has been mandated by the central office that they need to increase their market share in these various provinces. The example we mentioned in Guangdong, where they moved from 9% to 30% in 2 years, was done on a similar model to this, where China Unicom had established its large overall network in Guangdong, but then for the sort of legwork or groundwork of establishing and then selling and marketing each individual connection, they outsourced it to a small local company similar to Vision and obviously saw very good results. So Fujian China Unicom is essentially seeking to replicate that model in this case. That's essentially how the model works. You see our investment for 2012 is very minimal, about €1.5 million, and then it grows through 2016, by which point we'll have all of the connections established that we currently intend to, and then it's simply a matter of selling them, marketing and selling them, and then taking in our commissions. Given that it's a project on a smaller scale for the year 2012, beginning only really in the in August of this year, so towards the end of the year, we don't expect it to affect our guidance, which remains unchanged, and that's that we, this is on page 12 now, that we expect a revenue for the year for €80 to €100 million. Stable EBIT margin compared to last year, you see that we've stayed true to that for the first half of the year so far, looking at our margins. And then the business development that Alex described is sort of expected to continue, where there's continued pricing pressure in the wireless data cards, offset by better router sales, and then continued new product rollouts, particularly in the tablet PC space, and an emphasis looking to create more solutions and software-based revenues. For this year, we don't expect significant revenues from Vision Anjua, given that most of the downloads are still provided free of charge. But we have continued to build up the platform. As mentioned, we offer more than 10,000 applications. So that's in the long-term scope, we expect that to generate more revenues. But again, for this year, the guidance remains unchanged, and we expect business development to continue largely in line with what we've seen so far this year, as Alex described when talking about the results. This brings us to the end of the presentation. We're happy to take and answer any questions that you might have. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Mr. Malte Räther, your question please, from Warburg Research.
Hello everybody, this is Malte Räther from Warburg Research. Thanks for taking my question. I have one question regarding the cash flow from investing activities, what was quite high, 5 million euros. Maybe you could explain why the cash flow was so high. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for your question.
Hello, you mean cash flow from investment or cash flow from operations?
Investments.
Investments, yes. In cash flow from investment, there is a 4.9 million euros short-term investment. This is just the restatement of a short-term deposit from the cash and cash equivalent to this segment. So there's no real cash outflow in this period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Please press star 1 for questions. There are no further questions, Mr. Burns.
Okay. Well, I hope that means that we did a good job of being informative over the course of the presentation then. We have our contact information at the end of the presentation that was circulated, so if anybody has further questions or comes up with questions they don't have at the moment, we're very happy to answer them via email over the phone. Alex and I, again, would like to thank you for tuning into the call. We hope it proved to be informative for you, and look forward to speaking with everyone again in the near future. Wish everyone a nice day, and take care. Bye-bye.
We want to thank Mr. Chong and Mr. Burns and all the participants of this conference. Goodbye.